I hurt myself today to see if I still feel. I focus on the pain. The only.
You're listening to the Beer Coasters Podcast, the number one self-absorbed beer show from coast to coast and every once in a while in between.
Hey, I'm Dylan, brewer at Cape Ann Brewery, and you're listening to the Beer Coasters.
My name is Charles Finkel, and I'm the founder and the president of the Pike Brewing Company here in Seattle. I'm glad to be on the Beer Coasters.
Blah, 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 I'm off a beer, damn it!
Well, hello, welcome to the Beer Coasters Podcast, an entirely self-absorbed beer show devoted to bringing you the best and worst in mostly American craft beer from coast to coast, and every once in a while, in between. I'm your host this week, I'm Mike from Boston. And with me this week is...
It's Crazy Dave from Temecula, California.
And this is Toby in Las Vegas, Nevada.
We got a special guest.
And Tony Leone from Hartford, Connecticut.
Hey, Tony!
Thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah, thanks for coming on.
All righty.
Having a beer with us. So this show is... This segment is part of a show that we're calling Beer Hurts. We're doing beers.
It does.
It hurts.
Yes. on this YouTube segment here, we're going to be trying Dogfish Head's Piercing Pills.
Piercing Pills?
Then we have a few other beers that we're going to do later on in the show. You'll be able to hear the audio version, the full version, at the end of the week sometime. And those beers will be... Dave, what do you have?
I'm going to be drinking Blue Moon's Pine in the Neck.
Pine? Like pine?
Pine in the neck. It's a pine in the neck.
It's a pine in the neck.
How about you, Toby?
I'm going to have Stone Brewing's Matt's Burning Roseds.
It tastes like burning Roseds.
Don't forget to bring a towel.
And I'm going to be trying Baxter Brewing's Phantom Punch.
Dang.
Nice.
And Tony's going to sneak a beer in there somewhere,
I'm gonna
right?
Yeah. I'm going to sneak the Citra Mantra from Otter Creek just to join you guys. Yeah.
So he's going to bring us back into some zen after we've abused ourselves. He's going to... Yeah.
Or shouldn't you be, like, putting yourself in that zen mode so you could take the abuse?
Well, yes, I guess. Yeah. Either way.
I guess that's one way to do
it. I mean, you got to relax, like, the other regions before you take it, right?
Like the guys that lay on the bed of nails, they just...
Well, while you're relaxing your other regions, we're going to crack open this beer and talk about it.
This is a fermentation conversation.
So, this is Dogfish Head's Piercing Pills.
Yeah.
Dogfish Head Brewing Company is from Milton, Delaware. Yeah, there it is right there. See?
Ta-da. I thought it was Rehoboth.
Yep. Rehoboth.
Rehoboth Beach is where they have their little R&D brewery, I think. That's where they do all their test batches and things. And try out new beers and... see what sticks. The ABV on this beer is 6%. The IBUs are 35. And this is a seasonal, and I think they're calling this their... Did they say their fall seasonal or winter seasonal?
Fall is the pumpkin, I think.
The pumpkin.
All right, so this is their winter seasonal, I think.
Pumpkin.
Pumpkin. Sorry, pumpkin.
Yeah.
Look at that!
Hey, I got a... whole bunch ahead.
Yep. I couldn't even finish pouring the...
Yeah.
Like maybe because I'm trying to pour Dogfish beer into a Sam Adams glass. Maybe that's the issue, but...
Yeah, they're fighting.
Mine's a very cloudy yellow.
Yeah, lots of carbonation. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a very... Yeah, it's just pretty much like a golden yellow.
Yeah, golden yellow, I'd say.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I'm using the pills in her glass.
Dare I say, it kind of looks like as Greg from Stone would say... Was it wussy yellow beer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it got that color, unfortunately.
It does.
Not full wuss, though. I mean, because it's a little more richer than, like, if I can go, grab a Corona and we can...
Not Dogfish full
didn't
wuss.
Go full wuss on this one.
You don't go full wuss. Never go full wuss.
Yeah, I'm not allowed Ooh. To go full retard anymore, apparently, either.
Oh, there it is.
No, you're not, Dave.
No.
What you guys got on the nose?
We talked about this already.
It smells like...
It's kind of stinky.
Yeah, it smells like a Corona. Or like a Sapporo or something.
Well, it has a... I definitely pick up
on
the
hop. It's a citrusy hop. Kind of...
It's
yeah.
a citrusy it's a citrusy smell.
Yeah.
But there's almost... I don't want to say Play-Doh, but there's almost this weird kind of... not plasticky, but at first. Now it's starting to go away. Now I'm just getting hops. I'm getting some fruity hops.
Pilsner yeah, malt is kind of stinky.
For the head to dissipate and hopefully get a little different aroma.
If you ever like smell like a Pilsner, like they always have that little kind of like, it's not a bad, but it's kind of like a stank to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of like an import, but not.
Like a great.
I mean, not full Heineken, though.
Yeah.
No, a little bit of that metallic kind of smell to it.
Yeah.
Little tart aroma.
I definitely get.
Really, it actually smells pretty good.
It's got a good citrus note to it.
Yeah.
It's kind of a fresh. I mean, I don't know. It smells kind of fresh to me.
I'm going to take a sip.
Taking a sip, yeah.
I totally get that pear.
It's got a piece of pear, I think, in my. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Piece of pear?
Totally.
You got like a pear chunk?
Yeah. It's got. Oh, yeah, totally.
It's not a full sweet pear, though. I mean. Mm-mm. It's got a pretty good amount of bitterness to it.
Well, it kind of dries up.
At the end.
You get all that kind of pilsnery hops at the end of the sip, I think.
Yeah, very clean. It's refreshing. It has some sweet notes in there and a little bit of the dry bitterness from the hops, but
kind of wanting some more pear in the sip though.
Like no, I think
comes
if
in a little tiny bit.
I think if
middle,
it would,
but...
I think if it was more, I think it would be, you know. Well, I'll say it for last call.
A little too sweet.
Well, I don't know. I mean, there's a pear. What do they call them? It's not a pear because they don't call them ciders. I guess when it's a pear, like traditionally they used to call them something else. It might be something silly like Perry or you know something.
I've always thought they were just pear ciders.
Ace has like a pear cider or something, doesn't he? Ace.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ace does a pear
Ace,
cider.
Ace, Whiters,
has a pear cider.
Fox Barrel.
But I think originally they weren't cut, like, the fermented pear, they actually had a name for the drink. I want to say it was something like called a Perry.
I think it's pretty cool for Sam Calagione or whoever the brains behind this because, you know, if this is their winter seasonal, I mean, you think winter, you think heavy, you think stout, you think porters. You don't think light, crisp, you know, Czech pills, you know, so it's definitely out of the box. Kind of a cool idea.
Oh yeah, we didn't mention that. We didn't do any ingredients or anything on this, did we? Do we even have any ingredients?
Yeah, it's a Perry Pils hybrid, Mike. So you were right. Piercing Pils is a Czech style pilsner brewed with white pear tea and pear juice. Looks like it's got Czech sauce.
Got tea in it too. I didn't know that. I guess I should have done a little homework.
Yeah, I
totally get that now. Now that
a tea.
Like I saw what you guys were saying about the pear, but the pear tea. Totally. I totally get that.
Yeah, because it's got that dryness. Like, tea has that kind of kind of thing that does your mouth that this totally does. And not so much that you're, like, sucking on the tea bag, but...
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. Only Dave does that.
Yeah. And maybe that is that tea
I dropped the tea bag.
That I'm thinking is some of the...
That's definitely... That definitely nails the bitterness part of it. It's definitely got that tea bitterness. And now I'm starting to understand why you want a little more sweet pearness with it. I mean, I know it's ain't the McDonald's sweet tea or nothing, but...
No. Well, that stuff...
Southern sweet tea.
That'll send someone into a diabetic shock.
Hey, food pairings, guys.
Oh, well, it also comes in at 6% ABV. And what else?
Oh, yeah, Amarillo hops, too. So Saws hops and Amarillo hops.
Saws and Amarillo? Okay.
Amarillo in this?
Yep.
That's surprising.
Nice.
Amarillo hops add nuanced citrus notes that meld perfectly with the fruit.
Huh.
Food pairing? Gosh.
Hmm.
This can kind of go with a lot.
Yeah, to me, this is summer barbecue, outdoor, you know, on the grill, chicken.
Totally
summer salad kind of thing, maybe.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Some skewers, you know, like some beef and vegetable skewers, that kind of stuff.
How about San Diego fish tacos?
Dude, yeah, that would work.
Ooh,
too.
Yeah.
You know what I'm actually thinking too? Is, some sushi rolls too.
Okay, I can see that. Sushi rolls, Mike.
Oh yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Something with like cilantro. Like for example, like, oh man, I could have had this because I can go to the sushi place down the street. They had the Baja California roll, spicy tuna.
We don't have time for that kind of instant paradise. That's not instant. We don't need to drive down the street during the broadcast.
I would say like maybe like I'm gonna go like chicken burger, maybe, but grilled some like pineapple on top of that or something, almost like
Oh,
like the islands Hawaiian burger, like Hawaiian chicken thing. Yeah.
Yeah, like yeah. When you said like Baja, like you know style burrito, whatever you said, the fish taco.
Fish taco. Like, yeah.
This guy's like, Tony's really from the East Coast here, folks. Burrito, taco, whatever the f- I don't know what the hell the difference is.
All the same.
Some of that Mexican fare.
like a pineapple salsa or something, like on top of a burger or something, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
I'd like to see that. So what do we got?
Ratings.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see. We got a 3.51 from Untappd, and that's out of 13,162 ratings.
I got the Beer Advocate here.
Okay.
I got the Beer Advocate score in 85, which is very good, out of 673 ratings. And believe it or not, the brothers did have this, and they said it's a 92. Outstanding.
Wow.
So they're fans.
The top three places to drink this beer is the Lark Pub and Grub in East Northport, New York, the 1 Mile House in New York, New York, and the Bear's Lair.
Liar.
Man, you think I can read?
Bear's Lair.
Bear's Lair in Brooklyn, New York. Wow, they're all
Brooklyn.
Top three places are all
New York. Yeah.
You'd figure there'd be a Delaware in there somewhere, right?
There is a fourth place, the Deer Park Tavern.
But they didn't make the top three.
No.
So there you have it, folks.
All right.
Yeah.
Sweet.
There's the Dogfish Head Piercing Pills, part of their, we think, winter seasonal. We're not sure, but we know it's not fall because that's pumpkin.
You guys get your Mardi Gras badge?
I did. I got my Mardi Gras badge.
Oh,
I didn't get any beads, though.
I had a
there they go. Here, do I gotta show my tits?
No, please don't. I had the Brutal IPA from Rogue, and that's where I got my Mardi Gras badge on tip.
Cool just deal.
He's sticking with the theme.
Brutal.
Piercing,
awesome.
And burning and punch and pain in the neck.
Dang. I was almost gonna drink Punishment from Stone tonight.
Ooh.
That was one of the ones I would have done if I could get it here in Vegas.
And it's $20-something
a
bottle.
Get it here in Vegas, yeah, but it's all the way across town and
expensive.
Was it the Equinox? It was a few years back.
Hmm.
I had Crime and Punishment.
Yeah, I've got them both.
Yeah.
So, anyways,
I'd love to try that. I brewed a jalapeno beer.
Oh.
With some peach in there. It was sweet in the front, a little hot in the back.
Perfect.
Oof. This is good.
See, now, I like stuff like that, where you can get some, like, a
little bit of both
and a pepper kind of thing, I think.
Well, that's why I was really, suggesting really the piercing well. Piers with the Baja California roll, because, like, as I would say, the Baja California roll, spicy tuna with hamachi on top, and then a little thingy of a little sliver of a jalapeno.
That's a good call, actually. So. Yeah.
And cilantro in the middle.
What's crazy is that I think the last time we had Tony on the show, he was talking about starting to homebrew, I think. I don't know if you actually had a homebrew under your belt yet, but here you go. You're brewing beer with jalapenos and...
a punishing beer!
Peppers and... crazy.
Well, and I still, after all this time of me talking about brewing beer... have yet to brewed a beer by myself.
Don't worry, I've never brewed a beer by myself, or have even brewed a beer with somebody else.
But you have...
Well, I've brewed beer with people, but not alone
yet. Crazy Dave has made wine, though.
Yeah, I have made wine.
Oh.
Yeah.
I even designed a label. I'll show it in the next segment when I'll nice. Pull it up.
Cool. All right.
www.beercoasterspodcast.com. Yeah. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, all that fancy online stuff.
Rigamarole.
Social media.
Subscribe to our YouTube channel and like our
posts. Give us our videos. Up. Yeah, comment and stuff.
You know, drinking beer and being social is a big part of what we do here at the Beer Coasters Podcast. So we'd invite you to join us at any number of our internet social websites. You can join us on Facebook, Twitter, Untapped, Google+, and even Pinterest. That's right. Cheers.
Beer drinkers of the world, it's now time to check the headlines of the Beer Coasters Daily.
So I'm going to let Crazy Dave take this hot topic this week.
Cool.
From the Brewers Association.
Yeah, so the Brewers Association got together and met and do what they do. And apparently one of the last things that they did recently was they changed the definition of what a craft brewer is. The three pillars of the craft brewer definition remain the same. However, under the BA board's direction, some of the elements of each pillar have been modified to reflect the evolution within the industry. Specifically, the craft brewer definition now states... An American craft brewer is a small, independent, and traditional. Small meaning that they have production of 6 million barrels or less. They have 25% of the craft breweries owned or controlled by a beverage or alcohol industry member that it is itself not a craft brewer. And traditional in that the brewer has a majority of its total beverage alcohol volume in beers whose flavor derives from traditional or innovative brewing ingredients and their fermentation. Flavored malt beverages, or as Mike likes to affectionately refer to them as...
Alternative beverages
are not considered beers. So, what says the Beer Coasters?
I don't know. Like, I don't know about all these definitions and that they keep changing the definition of what it is. It seems like they need to sit and instead of constantly changing the definition of what craft beer is, maybe they need to come up, you know, think a little bit more like our forefathers and come up with kind of a universal. A thing that kind of all-encompassing definitions of things that can be
like what define you know, like what defines a small business.
I guess, yeah. I don't know.
Well, I mean, I was looking kind of at their you know brewery output. I mean, there's 6 million barrels is quite a bit. I mean,
here's my thing. I don't think that the definition of craft brewery should have anything to do with volume, as long as the quality. Is up to a particular standard.
But is it really a craft, though, if you're putting out quality? I mean, because IKEA makes a shit ton of furniture, you know, and if they were, I don't know, are they really crafting something, or are they just, you know, just cranking it out on a production line? You know what I mean?
But, well, I mean, that's what I'm saying. No, I wouldn't call it, I mean, it's not craft furniture, and I mean...
But
yes,
I mean,
I'm sure
but beer
a lot
can
of those
be. But
designs were, you know, it's not like there weren't craftsmen that came up with the original designs. But as far right. as when it goes into production and you start compromising the quality of your ingredients or materials to make that, then it's no longer. Craft,
okay, so
in
yeah,
my opinion,
yeah, it's like so. Are you crafting something, or are you just mass producing it? And can you mass produce something that's crafted? That, I think that's what the
right
real...
and I think that's where the lines. I mean,
cause, like,
that's
million,
the tricky part.
I mean, I'm looking like at Stone, like Stone's output for 2013 was 200,000 barrels. I mean, significantly less. Mm-hmm. What is Sam Adams put out?
I'm not sure. It's a whole hell of a
Sam,
lot.
2.5 million barrels.
But if these breweries, if they don't use corn, if they don't use rice to kind of, you know, to
well, but you can't
their,
say that because
production.
You can have. I mean, we're going to have like a corn beer episode coming up, so it's like
right now. I'm saying if they use that adjunct as a flavor and a filler or to dilute the intended, you know, the original, flavor just to kind of get more product out of it. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, to me, that's a difference. But if I use some, say I use Massachusetts, like, native corn in this particular beer because I'm trying to do some, you know.
They got corn out in Massachusetts?
Pilsner or whatever, that, you know, that's different than using corn or rice as a filler to try to get, you know.
So what are the Japanese beers that maybe they don't have corn and they just have rice, or maybe they don't have barley?
And that's
a good point.
It's the same thing. I mean, if it's a filler, it's a filler. And to me, that's what makes something that would be a closer definition for me.
So then maybe, but I mean, Budweiser though could just be saying like, well, you know, we're using, you know, rice, and you know, that's just, you know, how we make our beer, you know, and it's not really a filler. It's just what we use, you know, and that's what they think tastes good.
And one of the criteria for what the Brewers Association is defining craft brewery is, one of them is traditional, and the revised definition now recognizes that adjunct brewing is quite literally traditional. You know, some brewers are like what you're saying is that, well, Anheuser-Busch has been brewing with corn for, you know, 50 years or 100 years.
It's the intended
years,
purpose,
you know,
of that adjunct that makes a difference to me, you know?
Yeah.
Well, Tony, you got anything to say about this?
Well, I mean, so what are they trying to, I don't understand what they're trying to do. You have, like, your big brewers, like, you have, like, your Budweiser and, like, your macros. Are they trying to, like, make more categories? I don't understand what they're trying to redefine here.
I think
it seems to me like they're trying to separate it more by the production volume than anything else.
Well, yeah, there's three categories. They're you know, small, independent, and traditional. So small is just saying if you're doing more than 6 million barrels, there's no way in hell you could be a craft brewer.
Okay.
Okay. You're not crafting something, you're just mass producing it. You know, it's like you're not really doing any kind of art on any scale. I mean, they're basically saying we're making, you know, copies of your, who's that painting your mom, that painter that your mom loves that has, she has a painting on her mantle?
Kincaid.
Yeah. You know, we're just cranking out Kincaids.
Well, the thing about, let's not forget that since we've done the podcast, the Brewers Association has already redefined
several
craft
times
beer since we started doing the show. So this is the second time actually that we're finding out that they're redefining craft beer. And the first time they changed it from 2 million barrels
to 6
annual to 6. Why? Because of Sam Adams is what we were saying, is that Sam Adams
is only 2.5 million. 2.5 million
right
barrels.
But once they were reaching 2 million,
right, because
Sam
Adams still does craft beer. Yeah, they crank out their Boston Lager. Okay, yeah, we get that. But they're still doing craft beer. You know, there's still a lot of the smaller productions.
That's one of the things that they're talking about is, would you consider Sam Adams to be small? They don't fit into the small part of the three.
I think some of their series I would classify as small, because I'm guaranteeing
Well, yeah, they have a limited series, but so does Anheuser-Busch, so does Coors. They have a small batch, limited series that they don't pump out, you know, 20 million barrels.
So that by that definition, then those should be craft brewers as well.
Well, I mean, then it goes to the argument of Blue Moon, which, Dave, you are trying on the show today. You're doing a Blue Moon beer, and Mike has always brought up the fact that Blue Moon, you know, the head brewer there is
More independent. He's got control.
Right, carte blanche to do whatever he wants. He's not really that strictly associated with Coors and all that, but...
Then that raises a question where you have now, like, Blue Point, like, where they just got picked up last month by a macro brewery, and, like, you know, they have their own, like, way of doing beers, and all of a sudden they get picked up by, you know, was it Anheuser-Busch, I believe?
Blue Point?
Yeah,
Was it Coors or Blue
Just recently,
they just got picked up. I mean, their ingredients still stay the same, and they're still doing. But
they're
now they're producing more volume.
Now that they have a holding company.
So now, like, if they all of a sudden, like, you know, explode and their toasted lager starts going everywhere, are they not considered? Like, I mean, like, where is the line drawn there?
Right.
Well, I think we really have to talk to some professional brewers. But at some point, when you start producing beer on a on a mega scale, there are concessions that you have to make. And they even talked about that when they were doing that show for with Dogfish, when they were making, like, you know, these 5 gallon, the little nano brews, and then they had to convert it to the full scale production. I mean, they have to make changes in the recipes to make it work. Mm-hmm. They're not going to be able to scale up from 5 gallons or whatever up to 50,000 barrels or however many, it is that they do.
It's just crazy because I don't think that certain brewers should be. I mean, now my opinion has changed since we started doing the show, and my outlook on it has changed. And I mean, should we punish brewers for growing and for making something that people want? Sam Adams is huge. I mean, they're everywhere now. You can go to a lot of bars around the country and find Sam Adams, and people still consider them to be a craft brewer. And I toast them and say, yes, that's awesome that I can go pretty much anywhere, any dive bar, and chances are I'm going to be able to find a Boston Lager.
And that is the craft beer that you're going to find.
Right. They're in almost every grocery store. Yeah. So, that is a successful brewery that is offering something that the people want, and without the means of taking over other breweries and monopolizing and stuff like that, they've managed to produce something that the people want all across the country. And so I think that's impressive. So I don't think we should punish them and say, you're over 2 million barrels a year. Right. You're not craft beer anymore.
Well, that's the thing, too. And maybe how much weight are we giving this label craft beer?
Well, I don't know. They don't really say that. But the next part they do give a weight and is saying that less than 25% of the craft beer is owner controlled by an beverage alcohol industry member that is itself not a craft brewer. So if they're owned by one of these big holding companies and more than 25% of it is owned by Miller, Brew, Coors, right, Anheuser-Busch, whatever, then they fail to be a craft brewer because they're owned by it.
I think that's a fail
on their part because, like you said, Blue Moon would be a perfect example of that, where he has control of what they're producing, but it's just they're owned by a larger brewery.
I saw somebody check into a beer on Untappd recently,
and it's kind of a recursive definition. Like, is it a craft brewer if it's like, you know what I mean? Do you get my bad description there, guys?
Somebody checked into a beer on Untappd recently that was from one of the three brewers from the Craft Brewers Alliance. It was either Red Hook or Kona or something like that. And they mentioned in their check-in, I know this isn't technically craft beer, but this is a pretty good IPA or something like that. And I thought, well, I know that the Craft Brewers Alliance has AB has a huge stake in that alliance, which is, I think it's 40%, I want to say. Maybe it's less than that. But you have 3 or 4 breweries that are in this alliance mostly to get distribution across.
Right, like they haven't changed their brewing practices. They haven't changed their recipes. They're still the same brewery. They just happen to be, owned or,
partially owned for distribution reasons. So, I mean, that kind of sucks that people would look down on a brewer mainly because, you're part of the Craft Brewers Alliance and you have 40% of your brewery is owned by Anheuser-Busch, but they don't tell you how to brew your beer and then, I don't know.
Yeah, that raises the question, where you have a brewer, like I brought up, like Goose Island, they got picked up by, Anheuser-Busch. Like, they are, nothing's apparently changed with their style, but they got picked up by them, and now their distribution is much
better.
Better because they're using their resources. But then you have a beer like Shock Top or something that was basically kind of created by them, but they considered a craft brew under the umbrella of Anheuser-Busch. So it's do you fault Goose Island for quote unquote making it, and now they can distribute all over the place? Is Shock Top and Goose Island the same thing? No, they're totally different, but
right.
Well, it's kind of the same by definition.
But for me, I haven't seen a difference because I still can get Goose Island without a problem. I mean, I don't know how much their distribution now has spread. I mean, I'm assuming that it's better now, but I don't know. The last point on the
craft beer, it's a state of mind, man. It's it's not about numbers and money, man. It's state of mind.
I'm getting tired of talking about beer. I want to drink some more. I don't know about you guys.
All right. So,
and what's crazy is that we've talked about this how many times throughout the years of doing the
probably
show?
Probably at least once a year.
Craft beer. Yeah, I think it comes about once a year. So, yeah. Sorry to bore our regular listeners like Tony Leone.
What? No.
Oh, he's not a regular listener. That's right. He only listens when he's on the show, which is once a year.
He's like, damn it, it's time for that discussion again. Let me get on the show here.
Yeah.
I'm talking about...
Here's some tibbies for you.
Aces and Ales, Las Vegas's premier craft beer destination. With 22 beers on tap and over 80 rare bottles. You can even get growler fills. Go to beercoasterspodcast.com, click on the Aces and Ales logo, and print out your free draft beer voucher. That's Aces and Ales, now with two locations. Visit acesandales.com for more information. All killer, no filler. Back east, we've got Don Leone drinking beer. Let's hear what he has to say about this one.
It's right, Tony, it's Tasting Flight right here on the Beer Coasters podcast. I'll leave the singing to Tony, though.
Nice. Well, guys, I know I'm a week or so late, but I'm going to join you with the Brewmaster Mike's Citra Mantra.
That looks Mike.
Dude.
Well, it is Mike. It's
Mike. Like
dude, Mike says he doesn't brew beer, but apparently.
Yeah.
This is called Citra Mantra. It's from Otter Creek. It's a India-style Pils lager. I actually had the pleasure of meeting this brewmaster, Mike Gerhart, a couple weeks ago up at Backstage in Torrington, Connecticut. He came down for the release of his Double Dose IPA that he brewed with Sean Lawson of Lawson's Finest Liquids, which was fantastic, I must say. And he's a pretty cool dude. If you ever have a chance to go to Otter Creek, he was an awesome guy to talk to when he came down to Connecticut, his first time apparently. And he said, if you're ever up around Long Trail, come on up. So he's a really cool dude. I hope to take him up on that at some point. So
I've had a few of their beers on the show, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I got to say, the Double Dose was the first that they came out with this kind of new line where they're making this Mike Gerhart kind of the face of Otter Creek. They've done, it's almost like a cartoon. They have like this Double Dose, they have Citra Mantra, they have Kind Rye. And I heard of another one that's coming out called Fresh Slice, which is like their, I think it's a Belgian wit brewed with clementines. So,
yeah, Mike had their Oktoberfest and their spring ale, and something else too, and the Alpine Black IPA.
Okay, yeah, they're doing something. I mean, I want to say it's more than just marketing. I'd be curious. I mean, I think they're giving him more free rein on like their recipes because. I like Otter Creek. They're nothing that I like would go to find, but I mean, this stuff has been great. Kind Rye, Citra Mantra. Like, I've gone on my way to get these. So, anyway, what else we got for ingredients? Obviously, it's made with Citra hops. They use Pilsner, Munich, and Vienna malts to lay a crisp, bready foundation. And they say that the Citra hop gives them some citrus and tropical fruit characteristics.
Brewed
with edition of the Beer Coasters podcast, brought to you by the Bready Foundation.
Brewed with 100% positive vibes.
Yeah,
Citra Mantra. Yeah, well, you know, it's just like Citra, man.
Citra, man.
5.75 ABV. 55 IBUs.
Oh, their website, by the way, is www.ottercreekbrewing.com.
And thank you, Dave. They're also out of Middlebury, Vermont. Wow. Okay. Well, this is a little more.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's yellow.
That is yellow.
I'm going to say, I don't know how it's coming across on your guys' side, but.
Well, it always looks darker on the video, so we know it's got to be.
That's really
light. As hell. Because this is so yellow on screen.
Looks like urine.
A couple weeks ago, I think, what was it? Was it Dave that you said one looked like Gatorade?
Yeah.
This looks like Gatorade. It looks like carbonated Gatorade right now.
Yeah. Oh. It looks like it's glowing from here.
It's like that thing that Homer holds in the little video where he's...
I'm afraid if you drink that, you might either turn into a superhero or a supervillain.
I got a shout out to my sister for my Oregon Trail glass.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's awesome, dude. It's like the video game.
All right, on the nose. Woo! Citra. Hey, yo.
Citra, man.
Citra, man. It's like Citra, man. It's a lemon. Yeah, definitely a lot of those tropical fruits. Maybe a little bit of almost like orange rind, like orange peel. Yeah, this is nice. Nice Citra nose. And for 55 IBUs, I mean, that's average. I mean, I wouldn't say that's high, 55.
No.
It's got a great...
That's comfortable.
Yeah.
Well,
it's got a great nose on it.
Well, for that style of beer, it seems kind of high.
Yeah, I guess true.
Bitterness.
Take a sip, yeah!
Don't get dysentery.
I do have snake bite, apparently.
Tony Leone died of dysentery by Chimney Rock. he lost three oxen.
This is bitter. This is more bitter than I thought it was going to be. But it's really crisp on the finish. Almost has like a honey biscuit kind of quality to it.
Mm.
Maybe that's that bready foundation.
Mm-hmm. Honey biscuit.
Yeah. I like honey biscuits. Put some honey on that biscuit.
Honey biscuits. Give me another beer. Honey biscuits.
But no, it's got to...
You make me some of them biscuits.
I am digging the Citra hop, though. It's got that nice, like, clean kind of like the nose is tropical and the finish is nice and crisp. I mean, I know this is out now, but I could drink this... this is definitely like a warm weather, kind of like nice change. You know, we've been kind of weighed down with all the heavier beers over the winter. This is a nice change.
Sounds like a good lawnmower beer to me.
Mm.
I love those tropical smelling beers, man. I think they're wonderful.
Yeah. It's only, and like, it's under 6%, so.
Sessionable. Yeah.
Good lawnmower beer. Let me get some ratings for you guys.
I got untapped for you if you want.
Did you go pair it with something?
Oh, I didn't pair it. I didn't pair it. Blowing my first freaking review.
Oh, yeah. You're fired.
I'm out of here.
You're fired. That's it. He's out. Leone, out. King drops the glass on the keyboard.
Maybe like some like Thai food. I could do some like maybe some spicy pad Thai or like a nice curry dish.
Yeah.
I was watching.
Oh yes, you have to put the curry in the Citra mantra.
I was watching a food pairing. Do you know Dr. Bill Sisak from Stone?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He brewed one did a pairing a couple of, like, months ago where he took an IPA and he with a really spicy Thai food, and I could definitely see that with this. Yeah, the heat from the Thai and then the Thai chilies, and then you have this to kind of like cool it off. This could work very well.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Well, it looks like the untapped ratings come in at 3,644 ratings at a rate of 3.62. Top places to drink this are the Philly Craft Beer Festival in Philadelphia, the Ale House in Vestal, New York, and the State Theater Center for, I'm guessing, the Performing Arts in Eastern Pennsylvania. State Theater Center for the Arts.
Pennsylvania.
Performing Arts Venue Theater.
Well, that's very fitting. Performing Arts Center, nice.
There you go.
And then Beer Advocate, we have a score of 89 from the Beer Advocate users. Very good. And the bros also tried this at 90. Outstanding, they said.
Wow.
Dang.
Brother's been catching up.
So give it a try. Otter Creek's Citra Mantra. I definitely, I'm a fan. I like it.
I'll have to check that one out. I haven't seen that one around, but we get Otter Creek, but I haven't seen that one in particular, so I'll have to check it out.
Mike, did you say that the brothers are catching up?
It sounds like they've been drinking a few more beers lately.
Oh, well, they're not catching up to us, that's for sure.
When's the last time the brothers tried
back to back? 5,000 reviews or something, and we've got...
When's the last time we've done two beers in a row that they've actually tried?
Back to back.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Beer Coasters Podcast, and don't forget to support your local brewery, your local beer pubs, your local beer bars, and your local home brewers, etc. Drink local, because local's fresh. Oh!
Well, listen up, baby! It's time for Crazy Dave to drink some beer! Watch out now, baby bubba!
The Puget Sound, right?
Oh, that's a sound.
There's a sound. There you go.
Well, how about the sound of me talking about some beer?
Oh, there you go.
There it is.
I like the sound of that.
How about a segue?
What's up, everybody? This is Crazy Dave from Temecula, California, and I'm gonna be drinking the Blue Moons, Blue Moon Brewing Company's Pine in the Neck.
Is that a craft beer?
Well, it's part of their graffiti collection.
Is it between 2 and 6 million barrels.
Sounds
per
crafty.
Year?
Oh, you know what? I totally got to call out Blue Moon on this. Like, their bottle looks like it's silk screened, but it's really a clear sticker.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it totally is. I don't think you can see the edge of the sticker on the video, but. Totally a clear sticker. Fail,
our
guys.
Listeners that, you know, none of our listeners can actually see any of that whatsoever.
No. Yeah, we don't have any viewers right now either, so.
But, you know, anyhow, that's neither here nor there. So, Graffiti Collection, this unpredictable inspiration, unexpected ales, Pine in the Neck. This is a double IPA brewed with juniper berries. Guess our beers are with the bears. While camping, brewers John and Tom stashed their beer in a quiet stream to chill it. Smart until a storm came, and then there was a flood, and then they lost all their equipment, and they lost their beer. So they decided to brew a bold beer that was nature-proof.
This double IPA. That all these beers that hurt have all fruits and plants and stuff in them.
I know. It's like, oh, yeah, yeah. Like, you don't think, like, oh, juniper berries, those are going to hurt, like, stabbing thing. Like, yeah, like, if you get, you know... Like I get like jalapeno peppers.
I've never been stabbed with a juniper berry, just for the record.
The double IPA crafted with juniper berries may be called Pine in the Neck, but it's worth the trouble. So the website is www.bluemoonbrewing.com. ABV on this is 7.5%.
I want to say the last time we had a Blue Moon beer on the show was our New Year's Eve show from 2010 or something.
That is incorrect. Didn't we have one for the pumpkin?
Did we do? Was there a pumpkin?
Yeah, I think Blue Moon was there.
Oh yeah.
Mike picked.
I think Blue Moon snuck in.
Oh, I made it. I demanded it be in there.
And Mike picked it out.
I did. I picked it over something.
Yeah,
I can't remember
like Anderson Valley or something.
Yeah, we gave Mike all kinds of shit.
No, I never would have picked it over Anderson Valley.
Go to the tape. Go to the tape.
It's there.
I'll check the archives.
I'm looking
Anderson
for it.
Anderson Valley buttery goodness. There's no way I would have chosen it over that. No way.
Oh no, it's okay, Dave.
I got it. It's right here. Mike Brackett. He chose Blue Moon over Lakefront.
Lakefront. Well, Lakefront was a lager, right? Wasn't
I don't even know if Lakefront is actually a craft brewery or not. They seem like one of those that. You know, you try to find their brewery, and it ends up being like AB headquarters or something. Like, I'm a little suspicious of Lakefront. Or what's the other one? There's something just like it that has a...
Jack's Pumpkin Ale.
It says that it's in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, or... I can't remember. Anyway, go ahead.
Anyhow,
talk about your beer.
Pine in the Neck. It pours out a nice
dark.
It is pretty dark. It's definitely darker than the other, you know, beers that we've had. It's kind of like a light caramel color. Got a bit of haze. It's got a nice gradient too, from top to bottom. I mean, it's a good. This would be a well photographing beer. Yeah, I think it's got a decent amount
of photogenic ale.
And it's got a decent amount of carbonation coming up from it. Beautiful color. You know, not the head's kind of pretty much gone. It didn't really have much of a head, but I'm gonna take a sniff here.
You got
it. Oh, it's really
taking a sniff.
Taking a sniff.
I do get pininess, but I also get tropical fruit.
Are you smelling neck?
Any neck? Let me sniff. Let me sniff your neck here, baby.
Great.
The pininess though is really
getting inappropriate with the glass with Crazy Dave.
Well, I can lick the glass.
Oh God!
Finish telling us what you're smelling, please.
The pine is not really very like. That. Sometimes you get the pininess that's kind of resiny, you know, and it's kind of strong. This is just a nice, sweet, mellow kind of an outdoorsy kind of pine. Like, you're like, okay, I'm walking through some pine trees. I'm going to take a sip. This smells
really
good.
It's an indoorsy kind of pine, like Pine Sol?
Yes. Yes, Mike.
Yes. What? Christmas tree.
Artificial. It's an outdoorsy kind of pine.
It's like you just got pine trees around you.
Not
rather
like
than
the dead tree you have in Christmas time.
Well, there's a kind of pine that you walk into the lumber yard, you're like, oh, damn, that's a lot of sap, you know? And then there's the
it's
kind
not
of
the it's not the hanging from your rear view mirror kind of pine.
Oh, that's not authentic pine.
Yeah, I've had a few times where I had to pull that thing all the way down. It's like, whoa, damn, the car, really? Because like, you know, either my friend would like try to have like the big massive like foo-foo battle with the cologne or something. Anyhow.
Oh yeah, the foo-foo battle. I remember that.
Taking a sip, yeah.
For the record,
the vanilla aroma
was the freak thing out to have, not pine.
Oh, man.
Freak out.
Talk about a... Okay, I get the pie in the neck, total crazy day freak out on this beer. This has got...
whipped your head back and forth so fast.
I mean, this is definitely a double IPA. I mean, it's got a ton of hops. It's bitter, and it's got a lot of pine. Like, I'm licking 2x4s when I'm drinking this beer. Whoa.
It's funny, you know, you're drinking the Blue Moon and have the Coors Light t-shirt on.
What is that all about?
Did they send you that promotional
t-shirt? Product
t-shirt?
Placement here on YouTube.
Well, I'm trying to keep it under the mic, you know. I seriously just grabbed a t-shirt and put it on, so it was either that or you guys look at my hairy chest.
Oh, okay.
Well, you get some beads.
I appreciate
if you do
that Coors Light t-shirt more than you know. Never thought I'd say that on the show, folks.
Oh, man, this is hoppy. It is hoppy. It is hoppy, but it's still got a decent backbone to it.
I've seen this graffiti series. There's a 2 or 3, maybe more than that in the series, right? What is it about the graffiti? Why do they call it that? What's the deal with that?
I didn't do my homework on that. I don't know.
Didn't we do a special series from Blue Moon one time back when Chris made us try to find it? It had a blue label. It was a Belgian.
It was the Grand Cru. We did it for our Grand Cru show.
Grand Cru, yeah.
Or our New Year's Eve or something like that. So we drank the Grand Cru, and it was actually pretty good from what I remember.
Yeah, I think I remember that was pretty good. I had a tough time finding that beer, too. But
they have, Blue Moon has a couple of different series that I've seen on the shelves. One of them is the graffiti series. Another one is the one that has a little diamond on the neck.
Yeah, that's part of that Brewmaster.
The Grand Cru was part of that. Like, yeah, it's like a Brewer's Reserve or Brewmaster's Reserve series or something like that.
Well, they actually have the Vintage Ale Collection. And they've had some retired ales. That was like the Grand Cru. So maybe it wasn't the group, but the graffiti collection is defined as unpredictable inspiration, unexpected ales. We never know what will come out of the creative minds from our brewmasters. These bigger, bolder ales are inspired by the unpredictable stories of our brewers. So these guys were out camping or whatever. They got washed out and they're like, this is a real pain in the neck. Let's make a pint in the neck beer. So I'm guessing that's how it went. So that was the inspiration. You know, they got washed out. Last time I got washed out when I was camping, I was like, man, this effing sucks.
Yeah.
So last thing I want to do is stuff my face.
And then
you didn't
even come up with a beer name.
Yeah.
No.
Just came back, you know, wet, cold, tired, hungry.
Last thing he wanted was some juniper berries.
And don't get me wrong, I love drinking gin. I'm not really getting the juniper out of this at all. I mean, I don't know if juniper berries different than juniper.
It's because when you drink your gin, you have too much juice with it.
Really? No. I drink gin and tonic. Like, I'm not drinking it with OJ. I mean, that's...
You ever drink a gin martini?
Occasionally.
A true martini, I guess.
Yeah, with gin and vermouth and an olive.
Oh.
It really just, whoa. Yeah, they're rough. But I love gin and tonic.
I mean, gin, man. Or vodka. I like whiskey and rum and
brown liquors.
Yeah, brown liquors.
Nothing about being clear, huh? Anyhow, Graffiti Connection, pain in the neck here. It's getting a little easier to drink now that I've had a few sips of it.
Isn't that always the case?
But yeah, man, my boy, this is bitter. God, food pairings are tough on this. I would think a grilled chicken sandwich with some wok would probably be pretty good. Maybe throw some jalapenos on top. But I mean, this is big. I mean, don't get me wrong. This beer is still. I mean, even it's only 7.5. It's not as double IPA as most Deepas are at 9% or 8%.
Double IPA.
So I mean, I don't know.
I'd say over 7 is kind of double. I don't know. Yeah. That's pretty good.
Yeah, but I mean, but if you're looking at like 90-minute, like Dogfish is 90-minute, or you know, what are some of the other deep, like the Shipwrecked? I mean, those were some, you know, some monsters of some beers that we've had in the past.
Ballast Point IPA.
Yeah,
I'm a big fan of that one lately.
Untapped ratings come in at 3.32 out of 3,145 ratings. Top three places to drink this are World's Championship Barbecue Cook-Off. Okay. Minneapolis Food and Wine Show. And the Rockwells at Orland Park, Illinois.
We'll be back right after this.
Pause, Marcus.
Gemini Lounge. A chill new cocktail bar in Portland, Oregon. A gourmet bar food haven with creative cocktails, happy hour specials, drink specials, and great local beers on tap. Don't forget to go to beercoasterspodcast.com, click on the Gemini Lounge logo, and print out your free draft beer voucher. Gemini Lounge is committed to supporting local and eco-friendly options. Local handmade and vintage art on the walls, and even 75% of the building materials were purchased from locally owned businesses. Located at 6526 Southeast Foster Road, Portland, Oregon. Great tunes, good vibes. It's Gemini Lounge.
And now out west, it's time for Toby to drink some beer. Let's hear what he has to say about it, shall we?
This is Toby out west, and for my tasting flight, I am trying Matt's Burning Roses from Stone Brewing Company.
Burning Roses.
This is an Imperial Cherrywood Smoked Saison. Yes, you heard that correctly.
Smoking Saison.
Imperial Cherrywood Smoked Saison.
Now, there's a little special story behind this. Why don't you, let us in on this?
I'll put the link to this on our YouTube channel, and I'll have it on our website. I encourage everybody to go to this link, check out the video. Basically, Matt Courtright was a brewer at Stone. He helped open the Liberty Station Brewery in San Diego. He had a couple of beers that he brewed with Stone, and I believe he's the one who died in the forklift accident at Stone back in 2013. It was this July or August of 2013.
Yeah.
So this beer is in his honor, and some of the proceeds of this go to a couple of different charities or foundations that he was a part of. So not only do you're helping honor him, and you're helping, you know, with a couple of his charities and stuff. So it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. Matt's Burning Roses. Let's see. I don't really have much. It's 10.5% ABV, so that's pretty high for a saison. Let me crack it.
That's about double what a saison would be, right?
Right.
This is his recipe, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes, this was one of his last recipes, if not his last recipe that he had before passing away. So it pours out pretty clear. It's orange in color. Decent carbonation. I got about a finger of head, a human finger of head there. On the nose. Get that smoke. And there's a... I want to say it's a smoked ham type smell. And there's some sweetness in there, a little bit of floral something coming through. But yeah, there's this interesting, almost like a jerky kind of smell, but it's this almost like a smoked ham. Not real strong, just a little bit in the background. Yeah, interesting. So yeah, cherry wood, smoked cherry wood. What else? I don't think that there's any other ingredients
other than the roasteds.
Well, that was from that. The roasteds was the name of the cherry tree, I guess. Or
right, the cherry tree flowers or something. Yeah, 10.5% ABV.
Roasteds are members of the monolithic clade of flowering plants, containing about 70,000 species and more than a quarter of all angiosperms. The clade is divided into 16 to 20 orders. Blah blah blah.
Taking a sip, yeah. Very Belgian. Very dry in the aftertaste, like super dry, dries up real quick, and I'm left with a little bit of smoke, a little bit of a woodiness, hints of some sort of bacon, possibly.
Bacon.
Hints of bacon. Yes.
Nice, lively mouthfeel, but it's not... It's not effervescent or anything like that, but it just has a nice zip to it. Yeah, now I'm getting some grassiness, clove. Yeah, the Belgianiness is still there. A little bit of banana. Very interesting. I mean, having a smoked saison, it sounds crazy at first, but then when you think about it for a second, you go... Yeah, that kind of makes sense, you know, to have the sweetness from the banana and the yeast that you get from the Belgian yeast, and then throwing a smokiness in there, it almost totally makes sense to me. Now, I mean, now that I'm sipping it, I go, oh yeah, I mean, this is...
I'm trying to think of another saison that we had that was, was it lemon pepper saison we had a few years back?
Wow. I mean, I don't know if it's alcohol or what, but I mean, stuff comes shooting out, you know, as I take a sip, coming out of my nose. It's pretty, I mean, active, lively beer, you know, there's lots of stuff happening. I mean, I had this on tap probably about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and I remember it being way smokier and way more smoked ham was really dominant in it. But this, the Belgian flavors are coming out way more in this, and it's a lot more pleasant than what I had before.
That's weird, because usually when it's on draft, you think it's always going to be better because it's on draft rather than being better out of the bottle.
I think I like this version better. This was bottled in December 2013, so not too old. Yeah, pretty nice. For a food pairing, man, I don't know. I mean, this would go good with Thanksgiving dinner. You know, stuffing and maybe some yams, you know, candied yams or any of those typical Thanksgiving dishes, I think, would be great with this beer. I remember having this past Thanksgiving, I had the sour apple saison from Epic with my Thanksgiving dinner, and that was way sweeter and more bubblegummy, which was great. But this, with the smokiness in there, I think actually ham and stuff like that would be really good. Or even with you know, a big like brunch type thing or a breakfast. Have you guys ever been to Hash House, a go-go?
Well, I think technically one of their meals, one of their breakfasts, are actually paired with a big monster of like Pabst or something.
Or a tall boy of something like that. They have, they actually have Stone IPA, I think, on tap. that you can get any time of the day. At least here in Vegas, you can get a, you know.
Oh, they got a Hash House to go out there too?
Yeah, we've got.
Oh, nice.
Two of them out here, one or two. But I think that one of their big breakfast type things with, you know, lots of potatoes and rosemary and maybe something like that, like a chicken fried steak type stuff with gravy and whatever. I think this, because Hash House has that very flavorful, herby, filling dishes, and this I think would go pretty well with something like that.
You know, what's funny is I'm reading a blog from San Francisco Weekly, and they're saying they recommend pairing this beer with all manner of southern foods, and you're just nailing, like,
yeah, I can see that.
That's the big fried stuff.
Yeah,
yeah.
Biscuit and gravy and a smoked saison.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, put on the gravy.
Smoked saison. Right about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So on Untappd, the ratings come in at a 3.71 out of 13,341 ratings. Let's see.
That's a few.
Top three places to drink this is the Brewvival. Sorry, the Brewvival in North Charleston, South Carolina. The Taco Mac Sports Grill in Sandy Springs, Georgia. And the Tailspin Ale Fest in Louisville, Kentucky.
Louisville.
And there you go, folks.
The Beer Advocate users rate this an 86, which is very good.
Nothing from the bros?
Is it
the bros.
The brother streak came to a close?
Yeah.
Oh.
Hey, we already had two on the show. We can't go more than that. I think that's our max. Well, there you go, folks. Check it out. This is Matt's Burning Roses from Stone Brewing Company. I would highly recommend checking it out. And if anything, it goes to some good causes, and it's got a cool story behind it. We'll put the link to this on our website, and also if I post this on YouTube, we'll have it there too. So check it out, man. If you can get it in your neck of the woods, Matt's Burning Roses. Cherrywood Smoked Saison. Imperial Cherrywood. Hence the 10.5%.
It's got a lot going on in there.
Back east, we've got Mike drinking beer. Let's hear what he has to say about this one.
This is the beer I'm drinking. There you go.
Ooh, it's in a can.
It's called Phantom Punch. It's from Baxter Brewing Company. It is a winter stout. Brewed with vanilla beans and cocoa nibs.
You should do a blind tasting with this and Hawaiian Punch.
Yeah. I don't know if there's the two flavors I'd like to blend together.
I like Hawaiian Punch.
Yeah, I don't know if I want chocolate and vanilla stout in my Hawaiian Punch. But that's just me.
You never know.
This brewery's from Lewiston, Maine. Their website is www.baxterbrewing.com. The ABV on this beer is 6.8%, and it's in a can.
Can't get that from here.
Here we go. I'm going to try to.
You have to say that anytime we're drinking a beer from Maine. You know,
from Maine.
It can't get that from here.
Nope.
Go down the road a piece.
Where the hell does that come from? Like, seriously.
Yeah. Every New Englander says that, you know.
Yeah.
Nope. Just us Maine folk. All right. It's
you
black.
Want some lobster? You can go down the road a piece.
It is black, blackety black.
I see Toby in your glass.
Yeah. It's on me too.
Got about a finger of head.
My hair in there. Sorry, I've been drinking Matt's Burning
on the
roses.
Nose, chocolate and vanilla. A nice sweet chocolatey aroma.
Chocolate vanilla.
Yeah, it's the old 1-2.
1-2.
Chocolate vanilla. Strawberry motherfucker.
Nice.
It's got a really nice malty character to it. A little bit of coffee in there. It's like a nice roasty, toasty kind of aroma in there. Actually, a lot of the same. It's got a...
roasty toastiness?
Yeah, it's got like a toasted, nutty flavor and some coffee. It's not too sweet. It's got a nice smoothness without being too kind of heavy and rich. Kind of dries up a little bit at the end. This would be really good dessert beer. Because it has a really nice bitter roastiness. It's got that chocolate in there. I kind of could go for like one of those, you know, brownie a la mode type desserts, or even something as rich as a chocolate cheesecake, just because of the bitter, nice coffee overtones of this would go nice with something like that. But
so beer
some kind of chocolate dessert, definitely. I'm going to go with that brownie a la mode type sundae type thing.
But is it not the kind of thing you'd want to pour on a beer or on ice cream?
You could make a you know, like a beer shake with this, but it doesn't have that. I'd want something a little richer and creamier and have maybe more of that sweetness to it.
So just pour
this
it on top
actually
of
has a nice kind of dry finish, dries up. It makes it kind of cleanses your palate in between that. You know, you have the sweet and then the sip of the beer kind of going back and forth would lend itself better to eating it with dessert as opposed to making it part of dessert. If you get my drift.
Yeah.
I got the beer advocate right here.
Okay.
Go ahead.
The users rate this an 85, which is very good, out of 153 ratings. Nothing from the brothers.
The Untappd ratings come at 3.7 out of 1,544 ratings. Top three places.
And finally, one of the top three places is the actual brewery.
Baxter Brewing Company in Lewiston, woo-hoo! Maine.
Nice.
Studio 52 in Brighton, Massachusetts, and Tavern at the End of the World in Boston.
This is Baxter Brewing Phantom Punch Winter Stout.
Not to be confused with Hawaiian Punch.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
Boxer there.
Body blow, body blow. Left.
Knock him out.
Wow.
Are you telling us you're a boxer too, Tony? Gee.
I don't know. Mike
actor,
looks like he's got like the whole
singer,
rocket thing with
a home
the.
Brewer, a blogger. He's a polar bear.
All Mike needs to do is stand up like this.
Polar bear?
Polar bear.
Brandon Seifert says, "More beer is my favorite kind of beer."
Tweet of the week, yeah.
Time for some backwash. Let's check the Beer Coasters email and hotline. Yeah.
We got a comment on our website, www.beercoastersPodcast.com.
Hey, that's our website.
Yeah. On our Folsom Prison Brews episode, which happened last week, David...
Hello. I'm Johnny Cash.
Stuff is getting moved around on me. David Hirschbeck said, "This brewery is right up Crazy Dave's alley."
What? My alley.
Big Wood Brewery.
Oh, yeah.
He knows nice. Dave.
I'll put that right up some girl's alley, though. I'll tell you what, man.
Oh, so this is a Minnesota craft brewery.
Minnesota.
They do beers called Morning Wood, Jack nice. Savage, Bark Bite.
Oh, that's gonna have to be the.
By the way, they've got these great caricatures too.
No offense.
The morning, yeah, they're definitely getting all the no offense
coming up
because the morning wood has this big old rooster like.
Oh, yeah.
And the Jack Savage is like some lumberjack-looking dude, and then you got Bark Bite. It's like some beaver, like, munching down. I think if you take the I think if you take the beaver and, like, rotate it, put it down on the... Anyway, you guys get the idea.
It's funny.
Yeah, but...
Dude, I want some of this. It's awesome. Big Wood Brewery out of Minnesota.
A nice-looking website, too. It's cool. Fun design.
Oh, you can get wood there in Minneapolis. Wow, they're all over Minneapolis. Like, the map is just covered with big wood.
So check them out.
The ex-wife West Coast IPA.
They have a Amigo Grande, which is a Mexican-style lager. They have Forest Fire, which is a smoked imperial rye. Dude, sign me up. I want some. And an imperial pale, an imperial IPA called Bad Axe.
Dude, you see their tap handle? It's a gigantic axe.
Axe, yeah.
That's awesome.
Sweet. All right.
So,
send me some.
Yeah.
David Hirschbeck.
Yeah, with the little beer exchange. We gotta have the ale underground. We gotta like. We gotta start shipping beer all over the place.
Well, there you go. That's our backwash. Let's do some last calls.
I got some of Dave's beers. I got to drink some of Dave's beers too. I got those downstairs. So I was thinking about drinking the Iron Fist tonight, but
that would have been appropriate.
Which one from Iron Fist do you have?
The Velvet Glove.
Velvet Glove.
Ooh, nice. That's a good one.
I don't know.
Nice.
It's a little tough to drink at 1 a.m. I got to work in like 4 hours.
Oh, crap. We better hurry up and get this done.
All right.
Last call, baby.
Last call.
Last call coming up.
All right, everybody. Last call.
Hey.
Last call.
Hey, folks. Hey, everybody. This is all you get. Like, drink up, order now. Go home. You can't
stay out.
Can't stay here.
You don't have to go home, but you got to stay here.
Can't stay here. Yeah.
Can't stay here.
First up is we got our pint ratings, last call. And I believe the first up is Mr. Torrioni.
Torrioni. How you doing?
Oh, it's me. Oh, okay. Let's see. Well, first up, we'll do the Dogfish Piercing Pills. I enjoyed it. It was kind of a change of pace for the winter season. Normally we get those stouts kind of around this time of year, but definitely a change of pace. I liked it. I think it could have done a little bit more. I mean, it was clean, it was crisp. I don't know. It's good. I don't need to have it again, but like it's one of those like good like you know lawnmower beers you can have. I'll give it a try. What's that?
Or a snow shovel?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm gonna give that a 3.5.
3.5. All right.
Solid beer. I'd like to see. But I'll try other things. it was good. I enjoyed it. For the Otter Creek Citra Mantra, I'm a big fan of the Citra hop. It's it's got a lot of good qualities to it. A lot of good tropical. Characteristics, good hot bite to it, and 5.75 percent. It's right alongside like one of those like Founders like All Day IPA where you can have a couple of them and not forget where you are. I'm gonna go 4 pints in this one.
Wow.
Yeah, I liked it. Definitely recommend.
4 pints.
4 pints.
So, for me, for the piercing pills, it was a good beer. It definitely had a lot of that tea-ness to it. And Mike talked a little bit about this, but like saying, if you add a little bit more pear to it, it might make it a little more palatable, but too much pear and it would be a pear cider. But I still think I think this beer would shine more with food than really by itself. So I'm going to... as it is by itself, I'm just going to give it a 3. It's decent. It's good. It's all right. It's drinkable. I actually had this a couple of weeks ago when we were up in Big Bear, sitting in a cabin, with not very much snow around us. And this weekend now there's like tons of snow. But that's how it goes sometimes. So give it 3. Pie in the neck? Yeah, not my kind of beer. I mean, it's a big double IPA. It's kind of a pie in my neck. Yeah, it's bitter. It's strong. It toots me out. You know, I'm sure someone out there will like it. You know, it's just not for me. I'm a drop a deuce on this one.
Oh no! Not again,
Dave.
These are some bad
deuce dropping.
These are some bad deepas, man.
Killing me, Smalls.
Did you drop a one last week?
Did I? I may have.
On the Moilins?
I think it was.
The Moilins. Yeah, the Moilins was horrible. This is better. This is better than the Moilins.
Obviously.
This is drinkable.
We've got a whole pint more.
It's a damn shame. Damn shame.
How about you, Toby?
Dogfish Head, Piercing Pills. As far as a Pilsner goes, I mean, I don't drink a whole lot of Pilsners that much anymore, and this was freaking tasty for a Pilsner. Great fruit flavors, the pear and all that stuff was pretty awesome.
I think that's what we all forgot about that beer.
Yeah.
So with the fact that it was a Czech Pilsner?
Yeah.
I mean, it's... Yeah, lawnmower beer, it's great for the summertime, even into springtime, because it had more of that fruity stuff happening. It was a little less crisp than your typical Pilsner, but not in a bad way. So I'm going to go 4.5. I mean, I would totally get this again. This is something I would probably get
a keg of
and have it on tap. Take it to parties and say, but, I mean, a lot of people would enjoy this beer, so 4.5.
Wow,
it's great.
Toby. Introduction to craft beer for some people, possibly.
Totally. Yeah.
I wouldn't go
it's pretty safe.
Why, Dave?
I think there's better introduction beers.
Well, why would this not be something
it's got, be good for somebody? It's got quite a bit of bitterness still to it. I mean, it's got...
Yeah,
if you eat, like I said, I think this beer would shine like a diamond in the sky. Yeah, I think it'd be much better with food.
Well, I do think that for your typical Pilsner drinker, this is bigger than than your Pilsner Urquell drinker out there, or the person that likes to fancy themselves a craft beer drinker when they're drinking the freaking Stella Artois or whatever. But yes, this is different and it's fruitier.
God, Toby's really like passionate about it too.
Well, I mean, I don't drink a whole lot of Pilsners, and I do have, there is a spot in my heart for Pilsners, because I think the American Pilsner has kind of warped what we think Pilsner should be. Then when you go to the Czech Republic or parts of Europe where Pilsners are, you know, brewed more traditionally and whatever, this is obviously this is an American version, so it's totally twisted, but I really enjoyed it, and I think it's great, and I would get a 6-pack of it, I would get a 12-pack of it, and drink it in the summertime, you know, all day long. It's a really good, tasty version of a Pilsner, and I don't know, I really liked it, so
wow.
All right. 4.5, man. Awesome. Stone's Matt's Burning Roasted's 4 pints. I think this is a very interesting take on a Saison. I think people should totally check this out if you are the least bit craft beer curious, if you like Belgian styles, if you like anything that has an interesting twist on a traditional style that you've had before, I think you should check it out. The smokiness with the Saison, like I said in my tasting flight, I think works. It just works really well, and it surprised me. And, you know, and I think it would surprise a lot of people when they think, oh, a smoked Saison? That just sounds so weird. But when you try it, it really seriously has this interesting balance and interesting flavors and all that stuff that go, wow, why did I not think of this before? Why did I not think that this would work
because to me it totally works, and it's, I would get this again and again. It's really good, and of course the ABV helps a little bit. I mean, it's 10.5.
Maybe that's why Toby's a little passionate tonight. He's a little
that wet. Might be why my passion has raised a little bit, because
burning passion.
Yes, it's the burning passion for the Rosins. So yeah, 4. What did I say? 4.5.
You said 4.
Four. Okay. Yeah. 4. Check it out. Totally check it out.
Mike.
All right. Sorry, well, for me, for the piercing pills, I agree with a lot of what Toby was saying. With, you know, for pills,
of course you do.
Really well.
I think that Toby's getting cocky.
But I also.
Hey, I can't get cocky with my food pairings, but you know, I'm gonna get cocky here. You know what I'm saying?
What I can say about this beer is what I want. You know, I spoke a little bit about it when I was drinking it. I wanted more pear, and I think I want it a little drier. Hmm. So I think if it had more pear and then dried up even more, you know, even a bit crisper than it was. Not that it wasn't crisp, but I think it could have used maybe more of that and some more pear. So
maybe more pear, more carbonation.
Possibly. I didn't really get some of the.
It sounds like
flavors.
You want it to be. It sounds like you want to be more champagne-y.
Yeah, it sounds like you want it to be more cidery.
Well, maybe I do. But dry.
Yeah.
I don't want a, you know, I don't sweet. Want a cider. I want it to be really dry. I don't want any of that, you know, cidery sweetness or.
Well, you don't do Mike is with his you know, beer. What's interesting is also on Dogfish's website, they actually give you like a wine allegory to this, and they would say a Riesling, and I could totally see that, because Rieslings actually come in two different flavors. There's like a the sweet Rieslings, you know, which are like a sweet white wine, or you can get the drier Rieslings, which are a little drier, you know, and I can see where Mike's going with that. Where he wants to take it. So yeah.
Does Dogfish
and I also
often?
Agree with Dave saying this beer would definitely do better with food. I think if you did pair this with food, I think these flavors may shine through a little bit better than what I'm tasting, you know, after having a Rogue Brutal IPA. So it may have dulled my taste buds a bit before I even had the beer.
Yeah.
And not to leave Tony out, I agree with him on at least one of those things, which is the rating of 3.5. That's what I'm going to give this beer. It is good. It's well done. I just, me personally, want a little more of this, a little less of that kind of thing. But drinkable.
It's the first time out doing it, so I feel like they'll maybe tweak it a little bit.
Yeah, and they tend to do that. Yeah, they don't necessarily feel committed to certain releases that they have. You know, that right. they'll do a new batch and they'll change things up, and that's one really kind of cool thing about Dogfish Head. The other very interesting thing about Dogfish Head, I've always said Dogfish Head is a hit or miss with me. This is the first one that's like, it's all right. Like, it's not. It's not a shining star, but it's not a miss by any means. And this is the first Dogfish Head beer that I've had that's done that for me. So,
yeah.
And Toby, you were asked. You said something about like the wine thing. They did a one called Noble Rot that was kind of like a beer wine hybrid. You know?
Right. Well, was that the one that they had with the paint? Was
it? I've been wanting to try that. I see it all the time, and. Mike, when you and me were at Aces and Ales that time, before you were going to the airport, Ryan came up to us and said, "Oh, hey, how you guys doing? Have you tried the Noble Rot?" That was like the only thing he had to say to us. And he's one, you know, he's the owner of Aces and Ales, right. And he came and saw it. "Oh, hey, how you doing? Have you tried the Noble Rot?" And that was when it first came out, and it was on tap. They had it, and I still, to this day, have not had it. And I see it. Every time I'm at the beer store and I go, "Oh, I should pick up a bottle of that." I think it's $12 for a 7.50, which isn't too bad.
But Dogfish has, they've done quite a few
wine beer hybrids, you know, with the black and blue and
red and whites
and all that stuff.
The Noble Rot's good. They use, it's a Voynier grapes, which is very just light, you know, white grape. So
yeah,
all right.
Viognier is wonderful, wonderful wine. It's definitely very not well known. I think it should be
under the radar.
Yeah, totally. It's a
what region is it? Where is it from?
Well, but it's just
California.
I mean, they actually, the Viogniers grow better in the Rhone areas of France, or also out here in like the warmer desert type climates, like Temecula or Eastern Oregon. So,
wow.
You know,
Dave,
like, that's
dropping some blind knowledge.
Yeah.
You do it.
But the,
I knew he'd be down with the rhizomes and all that shit.
Down with the sulfites. Yeah.
Yeah.
Viognier is a great food one.
Smashing grapes, the crazy day.
Yeah. Get my toes in it and shit.
So for my tasting flight beer, just to try to get back on track here, trying to reel in the show.
Whatever.
The Phantom Punch Winter Stout. I really like this beer. This was a very drinkable stout for me.
How could you go wrong with something called a Winter Stout? I mean, seriously. Winter Stout. How could you go wrong?
Yeah, and vanilla and coconut.
The 1-2 on both.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 1-2 punch. This one was really well done. I would really, really like this with dessert. It's very drinkable. It's got some great roasty flavors of coffee and chocolate. Vanilla is in there. It's really nice. I almost want to give it a 4.5.
Almost?
Because of the drink. You know, I am going to give it a 4.5. I'm giving it a half a point because it's so much more drinkable than I expected it to be. So, yeah, there you have it. 4.5. I really, really like this one. And I wasn't expecting much from it. I got this as a... I think it was like a mixed six-pack that I ended up getting the last time I was at probably Marty's or something. And
Marty's Liquors.
Marty's Liquors. Newton, Massachusetts. So I'll buy this again for sure. And it comes in cans!
Yeah.
He likes these cans.
I don't like these cans.
So I just remember watching Airwolf, and they would this guy like
Airwolf.
There you go. Talk about '80s
TV shows. This guy throws like a can. Like,
was that before or after Manimal?
I don't remember. But the guy was like in a bar, and like they had a ceiling fan at the bar. And the guy was like yells can, and he throws the can, and it goes up in the ceiling fan, and the ceiling fan like hits the can. And the can goes flying across the bar. It was awesome.
That's what we used to do at your parents' house.
And that's where I got it from.
We'd be drinking the Miller Lite or whatever, and we'd throw the can up in the ceiling fan.
I wanted to give a shout-out to Chris Reed for watching our video on Google Plus or YouTube tonight. So he happened to be drinking the piercing pills right before he checked in on tap, right before we started drinking it. So he hit us up on that. Of course, all the regular folks, you know, Gino Kenny, Malt Porter, and all them, and David Hirschbach for sending us some backwash and some big wood. So we'll be looking to see if I can get that. I got a friend that lives out in Minneapolis, so maybe I can get them to send some beer out this way or something.
Totally, dude. I want to try some big wood.
Yep.
Brewing company. Brewing company.
I got some big wood for you.
No.
I got something brewing, too, man.
All right, I'm going to take a second here and throw a few shout-outs. I want to give a shout-out to In a Pub, also Bend Beer Camp, The Gutter, Star Groves, Denver Beer Guy, and I Love Jeep.
I Love Jeep. And...
yeah. All right. Who else? You got more shout-outs?
I got a couple. Let's see if I can do this here. I have a screen share here. Can you guys see that? There's an event coming up at a place called Backstage up in Torrington, Connecticut. This guy, Todd Ruggieri, Mike, you may have heard of him. He drank a beer in every town in Massachusetts last year.
Did he write a book? Or he was in the process of writing a book about it or something?
Possibly in the process of. You can get him at CTPourTour on Twitter or CTPourTour.com. So he did Massachusetts, and he raised like $43,000 for pediatric cancer research. So nice. he's taken his efforts to Connecticut now. So he's doing that.
Cool. And he's hitting up the CT Beer Trail.
Shout out.
Nice.
So that's going to be on March 22nd, Saturday, coming up. Shout out to the Stubborn Beauty Brewing in Middletown, Connecticut. They opened this past weekend, which kind of goes to the other hop tibbies that Toby picked out, what you guys will maybe talk about another time, about just more craft breweries kind of like opening up all over the place. So congrats to them for finally opening up. Looking forward to having them. Relic Brewing in Plainville, Connecticut just had their second anniversary. Psyched for them.
Uh-oh, Relic Brewing. There's a Relic Brewing out here in Temecula.
We had Relic on the show, I think.
Mike, Dave did the
Dave did the
porter.
Oh wait, maybe I'm thinking Queen Anne's Revenge. Maybe I'm thinking of something else. Never mind.
Oh, Queen Anne's Revenge.
That was the roasty coffee.
Roy is.
That's it. Must have been
a Dead Man Sip No Ales show.
That's coming up soon, by the way, for all our listeners.
Hipster Brufus.
End of the month. Yeah.
Hipster Brufus.
I wanted to thank Hipster Brufus for giving me a shout out when you guys as well for wishing me a happy birthday. That's awfully, awfully nice of you.
Yeah.
And on a personal note, the co-blogger with Beer 411, my cousin Katie, is engaged to be married. So I want to give her a shout out. Katie and Phil. So
Katie Stint.
Put a ring on it.
Congrats.
Did, so
don't put a ring on it. Cheers to that. Oh, I got one more shout out too. Rick from the Land of the Ice and Snow finally made me a friend on Untappd. Nice. So I don't know if
about
he just
time.
Yeah. Talk about check-ins, man. This guy's got 807 different check-ins on beer.
Nice.
Dang.
Nice. I'm going to give a shout-out to Tony Leone, of course. Thank you for being on the show this week.
Yes. Thank you very much.
Thank you, guys.
It was a pleasure having a beer with you, sir.
Yeah. Always a good time. We'll do it again.
Word.
And, I did a survey on Untappd last week.
Untappd the surveys?
When I checked in my Outlaw from Great Basin when we were doing the Johnny Cash show, I did a survey on Untappd. I said, hey, how many people actually listen to the show? And I had a bunch of people respond and say that they did or that they will start listening to it, and I can't get it. I can't bring up all of those comments right now, so I want to give a shout out to all the people that commented on Untappd. And Bean P, real quick, I want to give him a shout out because he did comment on the piercing pills that we just had. He says, I love this one. Sometimes Dogfish weirds you out, but I thought this one was great.
they definitely do.
Yeah.
So Chicha, I think, brings the weirdness level up high.
Chicha!
Well, they always have a handful of interesting adjuncts, you know, at the very least, throw into
I think that's cool. You know, Dogfish has found their place in the craft beer community as the, you know, the go-to ancient ale guys. You know, that they're gonna. It's if there's another brewery out there that wanted to do any kind of ancient ale revival, I think they would probably go. Dogfish will probably take care of that. You know, kind of thing. So
either that, or that's who they want to collaborate with. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And they should.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, I mean they're great as far. I mean their lab as far as like their yeast and stuff, the stuff that they do at Dogfish Head is pretty impressive. They have great brewers there, great facility. Great minds, great beer.
Well, speaking of great minds and great beer, this is your show. We just drank it, right?
Okay.
True.
Yeah, that's true. You're right, Dave.
It's their show.
Our minds are just drinking.
It's totally only show. You're just drinking it, all you're right, Gabby?
Oh, that's right. Toby's out of this one now.
All right. Yeah, I think
Tony's taking my place.
Now shout out to Toby on your last show.
Sweet. That's it, folks.
That's
we're
it.
Wrapping
we're
it up.
All right.
It's getting late.
Cheers.
www.beercoasterspodcast.com.
Wait, what are we doing next week?
Next week
we're doing something. Oh, St. Patty's Day.
St. Patty's Day.
Yeah. Oh, St. Right. Patrick's. Sorry, we're not supposed to say St. Patty's.
St. Patrick.
St. Patrick's Day.
Why can't we say St. Patty's Day?
Because the Irish don't like it.
Yeah, these silly Americans don't like it. Stuff like that.
Right. I don't know anything about that. So.
All right, that's it. Thanks. Finally, I'm trying to wrap this damn show up. It's over.
Okay.
That's it.
Peace
good
out.
Night.
Thanks, Tony.
See you next week.
See you next week.
Thanks, guys.
Cheers.
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 Clink.
Something like that.
Strawberry,
America.
Strawberry.
You don't go full wuss.
Well, I can lick the glass.
Oh, God.
Finish telling us what you're smelling, please.
Mike hates me. Mike f***ing hates me.
Only at 10 o'clock at night.
Woof, 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 woof.